Love that old song, What a Day. It'll be that old second verse that talks about no sorrows there and no more burdens to bear. Over the last few days, I believe I've seen enough pain and hurt to do me for a long time. To watch people that you dearly love and to watch them suffer, it just hurts you right in the heart. The wonderful thing about a church is, though, that God allows us to carry one another's burdens, allows us to be an integral part of each other's lives. And Bailey, son, that's what you were baptized into this morning, was a church that loves you, that will do our best to serve you and do our best to make sure you're fed, that you can go out and win other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a charge to Bailey this morning. This is a charge to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is for each and every one of us. I don't know if you've noticed recently, but there is a battle that rages for the heart and the soul of our nation, for the principles and the values that we hold dear. We need every man and woman that names the name of Christ to be on the battlefield for the Lord. We won't win this battle with shields and with swords other than the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But we'll win this battle with prayer and the love of God in Christ. This morning, as your little pastor, I want to encourage you and implore you. I'm making a call this morning for each and every one of us that names the name of Christ to be on the battlefield. Because guys, in the depths of my heart, I believe we don't have long. And no man knows the hour when the Lord's going to come. Jesus said He didn't even know, only His Father, which is in heaven. But as I look around and I see all that is going on around us, there is something down deep inside of me that is constantly reminding me we don't have very long. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to ask you to turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Timothy. That won't be in your way, will it, Danny, right there? That'd be all right. Second chapter of 2 Timothy. And before I read the scripture, certainly I want to say this. This is the writing of the Apostle Paul, as far as we know. The last letter that he wrote before he would give his life for Christ in prison. And here he is addressing this letter, of course, to his son in the Lord, Timothy. And I've said this quite often, and I want to say it again. You know, we never know when God is going to carry us out of this life. We never know whenever our last breath will breathe here and wake up over there. But I do know this. Thank God that when I do close my eyes in death, I know where I'm headed. That's assured. I made that preparation as a 12-year-old boy when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and He gloriously saved my soul. Now, I don't dread crossing the river, but I don't know what it'll take to get down to the water's edge. I don't know what I'll face and what I'll go through. You don't know either, but here the Apostle Paul has got one last opportunity to talk to this man that he loves. And all of this was the last message that God ever let me preach. If this was the last time that I could stand here before you in this life and encourage you, it'd be just the same thing that Paul was going through in that day. Now, I'd want to if I knew that my time was up. Baby girl, there's some things, son, that I'd want to say to you. Some things that I'd want to remind you of. Mama, there'd be some things that I'd want to thank you for. And my dear brothers in Christ and my fellow laborers that preach the gospel, I'd want to tell you, just preach the word of the Lord. To my church, I'd want to tell you that I love you and oh, I'm so thankful that I'm a part of you and you've allowed me to be a part of your lives. And here Paul is getting this opportunity to say what he wants to say to his son in the Lord, Timothy. I want you to know this morning, Bailey, son, this is certainly for you. He says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Oh, I want to tell you, in the day and age we live, we've never seen a time where so much of our faith has been stretched and tried and tested. But I want to say to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, honey, just hang on and be strong in the Lord. You say, well, Brother Russell, I feel awful weak. I remember the Apostle Paul, the same man that wrote this letter. He went to the Lord concerning an infirmity, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him, and he besought the Lord thrice on this matter. And you remember what the Lord told him. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Oh, aren't you glad no matter what we face in this life, that His grace is sufficient? No matter how difficult the hour. And Bailey, son, I wish I could tell you that life is going to be a bed of roses, but sometimes there are just hard things that happen in life. Oh, but I tell you what I found, Danny. I found His grace is sufficient. I've been through some storms, and you've been through some storms. And Caleb and Brady, son, there'll be some storms that you'll have to go through. Harris, you just come through a storm. But in that hospital room where you was by yourself, did you not find out that God's grace is sufficient? Oh, I'm glad this morning that there's grace for every need. There's grace for every hour. And even when the time comes to die, there is grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you've heard among me and so many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. I want you to notice this phrase, commit thou to faithful men. We're living in a day and a time where church has become this fly-by-night experience. We go if we want to go, and if we don't want to go, we don't go. And, you know, we treat it so frivolously. And if there's anything we've learned in these last several months, it's simply this. Don't ever take coming to the house of God for granted. It is a privilege to come to the house of God. It is a privilege to worship together. He said, Timothy, commit these things to faithful men. Oh, I want to tell you, if you're going to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to take some commitment on your part and some commitment on my part. God needs us to be consistent. God wants us to be faithful. And God will bless you for your faithfulness. But let me say this about our Heavenly Father. While sometimes our commitment is a little slack and our faithfulness is a little weak, thank God. God is faithful. He'll always hold up His end of the bargain. Church, in this day and age where there's so much going on around us and it's so easy just to stay at home, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, stay committed unto the Lord Jesus. Stay committed to coming to the house of God. And if we will, God will bless us for it. You don't hear a message on commitment much anymore, but brothers and sisters, it's as important now as it's ever been. He said, teach these things also to others. But I want you to notice verse 3. This is maybe one of the hardest verses in the Bible for the born again Christian, and I'll explain myself. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. The prosperity gospel has crept into so many churches and has preached to us and told us that once we give our lives to Christ and we're committed to Christ, that that will exclude us from a lot of the troubles that happen in life. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. That is a lie from hell, that we too have trouble. We too. He said, Timothy, endure hardness. There are going to be some things in life that we just have to endure. And I think about little old Mother Church here and what we've been through and all to have to, and I say give up. We didn't give her up. She was the Lord's anyway. But I have to give up Loretta, this mama of the church, and go through that. And now we went through the COVID, and to have Harris be sick like he was in the hospital, and Martha, you know, and all these, Brother Roger now going to have heart surgery. We've had a lot that's gone on in the church. Brother Charles just getting to come home from the hospital. We've had a lot going on. Y'all went through in the hospital with the birth of Trey. Y'all went through a hardship. I'm telling you, we are not excluded from the hard things that happen to other people. But thank God in the middle of that hardness, thank God in the middle of that trouble, the grace of God and the love of God reaches down to where we are and helps us endure the hard things that we have to go through. This mother, and most of you know her, and I'll not name her, lost her son in a car wreck when he was 16 years old. She called me up one night and she said, Brother Russell, she said, I've read something in the scripture and I don't like it at all. And I said, well, honey, what was it? And she said, well, it was 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the third verse, endure hardness. She said, Russell, I didn't realize that there's hardness that we have to endure. There are things that we have to go through. I want to remind you, now listen to me, every eye and every ear open this morning. I want you to understand this. There's no hardness that we'll have to endure that'll be worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And when we stand before Christ, no, when we kneel before Christ, we'll be able to say it was worth all the suffering, all the trials, all the tribulation, just to be with Him in glory. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Don't you want to be a good soldier? No man, verse 4, God help me here. This is, help me take this into my heart, Lord. Help me let this get into my soul. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to submit to you and I'm going to admit to you this morning that is the hardest part of being a Christian, not to allow other things to creep into your life and tangle you up. Now I realize, listen, hey, you know, when it comes to the politics of our age and all that's going on in our nation, if we're not careful, we'll get tangled up. We'll get tangled up in the affairs. You know what? To be honest with you, there are times in my life, especially in October, when I'm worried about what's going on down the road at the old pumpkin farm, I can get so tangled up in that stuff that I lose the joy of the moment. I lose the joy of the fellowship of God's people because I'm tangled up. Let me say this. There ain't nothing out there worth getting tangled up in. Oh, brothers and sisters, listen, don't get tangled up with the affairs of this life. Remember, there is a life after this. And thank God we want to please Him who's called us to be a soldier. If a man also strive for mastery, he's not crown except he strive lawfully. There is a right way to do it. Is that all right to say it like that? There is a right way to be a Christian. There is a right way to be a child of God. Do you realize that God don't want us to go around and stick our nose up in the air and act like we're better than everybody else? But what God wants from you and from me is to show people the same mercy and the same grace that He has shown us. We ought to be a people of love, not a people of judgment. It'll be up to God to judge them, and He'll do it right. But my job is to love them to Christ. And when the day of judgment comes, God will be the great judge. Thank God we're not called to judge. We're called to love. Let's do it the right way. The right way will lead people to Christ. The wrong way will repel them from Christ. The right way will draw them. The other way will repel them. And I believe that God and God's Spirit is always drawing and gathering in. His hand is outstretched still. He goes on to say this, the husbandman that labor must first be partaker of the fruits. Say, Russell, what's that mean? Back in those days, they had great grape vineyards. And the man, the husbandman that took care of the vineyard, before he anybody else got to eat the fruit, he would go around to see if it was ripe, and he would pull it off the vine, and he would be the first one to taste it. Let me say this, and every now and again, as he walked through his little old vineyard or his big old vineyard, if he was hungry and it hit him just right, he'd reach up to the vine and he'd take him a taste. Let me say this, it's all right every now and then to enjoy the gospel of Christ. It's all right to enjoy your preaching. It's all right to enjoy the Spirit of God. Every now and then, church, what we ought to do is reach up to the true vine, which is Christ. Take us a bite of that sweet fruit and rejoice in it. He said, Timothy, how are you going to tell anybody else how good the grapes are unless you've tasted them yourself? I'm going to tell you, I can tell you how good God is. You know why? I've tasted of the goodness of God. I can tell you how good salvation is. How? Because I've been saved by the grace of God. And the best one to tell you is somebody who's got it and tried it. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. I'm closing. This will be the last thing, I guess, as far as I know. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know what? We deal and we dwell on the crucifixion of Christ a whole lot in the church, and we should. I'm telling you, if He hadn't died on Calvary, none of us would be saved. If He hadn't shed His blood, none of us would have the chance to be washed in it and be a child of God. But I want to tell you, it's not just about His crucifixion. Thank God. On the third day, He arose again. I'm not serving a Christ that just died on Calvary. I'm serving a Christ that rose from the dead. I'm not just serving a Christ that died for our sin. I'm serving a Savior who was risen for my justification. Thank God this morning. Remember, 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 Christ raised from the dead. And because He raised from the dead, we too shall rise. So when you're enduring hardness and it just seems like everything's coming down on you, remember Jesus arose from the dead, and death don't have the final say on our life. I absolutely abhor and despise death. It is the greatest enemy of mankind. Every one of us, if the Lord tarries His coming, will face death. Think about this. You're going to face death. And then what? Death don't respect people. Death don't care how much money you've got. Death don't care how long you've lived for the Lord and what you've done for Him. Death don't care what economic strata you come from or what your politics are. Death don't care. And I hate death. It separates us from the people that we love. Now those that have gone on to be with the Lord, they're in a place where they don't carry across the pain and the sorrow. They're in a place of rest where the grace of God abounds so gloriously that they never remember or it doesn't enter into their mind the things that happened down on this side. But then we who are here are left to deal with the fact that death has visited somebody that we love, and I hate death. And it keeps coming back over and over again. And we ain't gonna get out of it, guys, unless the Lord comes in glory, and then it'll be instantaneous. We'll be changed. And while we know that death is gonna visit and death He's going to pass by. And death does what death always does. He brings sorrow and He brings grief. And I despise death. But oh, glory to the Lamb of God. When Jesus walked out of the grave, death was defeated. And He can't reign over you or me. Now I may die physically down here, but death for a Christian is closing my eyes down here and open them up over there. And when I open them up over there, oh, what my eyes shall behold. Remember that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Death doesn't have the final say. The Lord has defeated death. Stand to your feet this morning. Bailey, son, I hope that's a sufficient charge. Church, I hope that's a sufficient charge. Guys, I'll be honest with you. I stand here before you. I guess it's afternoon now. It may be past the morning hour. I don't know. One of the hardest things that I deal with, and it leave scars, is watching people suffer. And watching them have to say goodbye to the people that they love. It hurts. It takes its toll. I've seen enough death. But I'm so glad every now and again, as a little old man, woman, boy, or girl slides up to the altar, and I get to see life. And all, in all the sorrow, all the pain that this life brings, what truly gives a man joy, Bailey, is to walk with the Lord and to see other people get what you've got. God has left us here for a short season. My appointed days are numbered, and God knows them. I don't. But oh, if death finds me, let it be said that I met death with a confidence that I knew where I was going, and I know where I'll be. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where have you placed your faith this morning? Oh, if you need to pray, you come. What you got? God, do help this morning.